Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Mugwump Tower, this is Albatross 1-3, requesting permission to land. Over.
I don't need a computer to tell me how to land a damn airplane.
Six.
Heads-up display, check.
Five.
Lasers, check.
Four.
Particle beam, check.
Three.
Proton bolts, check.
Two.
Chair control, check.
One.
Let's do it.
Broadcasting from a secret underground location somewhere in Mos Eisley, this is the Docking Bay 77 podcast. Make yourself comfortable. The show is about to start. Hello and welcome to the Docking Bay 77 podcast. I am your host and caddy, Dayton Johnson. Well, we're making our way through April. We've already discussed two quality sports movies. Let's continue. Our tea time is approaching. It's time to hit the links. First of all, let me introduce the rest of my group. Teeing off first from Salome, Texas, driving range pro, Mike Vermillion. How's it going, Mike?
Going really well. Thank you, Dayton. It's always a pleasure.
And with the lead in this current tournament, he is a pro. By the way, he hates kids, old people, and animals. It is Eric Brock. How's it going, Eric?
And dogs. No, actually, I love dogs. But
I know. That's why I changed it
to animals. I get your point.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. So we are discussing the golf movie from 1996, the classic Tin Cup.
Waggle it.
From the creator of Bull Durham and White Men Can't Jump.
The clubhead was waggle the club.
Comes a story.
That's a pretty girl, man. Such an ugly swing.
About men and women and the games they play.
Remember, this game's about trust, touch, and letting go.
Hi, darling.
Hi, honey.
Oh, no, not him.
You got it bad, huh?
Something about that chick.
I take it you're a feminist.
No one's ever saddled me with that one.
Well, you might try being saddled sometime.
Smell of leather, sting of a whip.
Yes! She must think I'm such a loser, lousy driving range pro.
Local legend Roy Tin Cup McAvoy, the best player to never hit the big time.
It's an easy game, this golf.
Wasn't going anywhere.
Oh. It's got to be the woman.
I thought you said it was a virus.
Well, a woman can have the same effect.
But ever since Dr. Molly Griswold got inside his head...
I think I'm in love with you.
What?
He's been changing his whole approach.
From the moment I first saw you, I knew I was through with bar girls and strippers and motorcycle chicks and
stunned, huh? Tell me you're not at least moderately attracted to me.
You have moments, Roy.
Yeah, well, you tell me which ones are my moments and I'll try and duplicate them.
Just thinking about how to get in your heart.
This could take all night. It's a
come on, you guys!
You're all nuts.
Yeah.
To the car.
All right, let's get some opening thoughts on this movie and when and where you remember seeing it for the first time. So, Mike, why don't you start?
Well, it was date night, 1996.
And oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember going to see this movie, and, you know, this is a time when they really cranked a lot of movies out.
Very true.
And so there's a lot of variety and stuff like that. I mean, you know, you try to explain it to kids nowadays, but movies was the big thing on the weekend, you know?
Yes, it was.
Right. You know, and the $20 or $30 you spent that night was a big deal. So we picked this movie and we went in to see it. Kevin Costner was on fire in the 90s. So, you know, we figured how bad can it be or how, you know, good can it be? So
how bad can it be? No, that's good. All right. Awesome. Eric?
Kind of the same way as Mike. It was a date, and my apologies to the young lady that I took. I don't remember who it was, but it was definitely a date. My dad has been in the golf industries since I was born, you know, basically. So, and, you know, because of that, you know, I got into golf at a young age and had been playing my whole life. So I'm kind of predisposed to like, you know, just about any golf movie, really. And I 100% love this movie. It's actually one of my favorite movies, even, I mean, you know, regardless of it being about golf.
Okay. You know,
I just really like it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you, I'm not sure the first time I saw it, I might have rented it. It wasn't a date night. I know that. I'm pretty sure I might have rented it, but I can tell you with 100% accuracy that I watched it constantly when I was living in my first apartment on my own. So I had just gotten cable. And you know, when you first sign up for cable, they say, hey, how about these, all these premium channels for nothing a month for 3 months, whatever. And you're like, sure. So I, of course, had HBO and HBO West. Well, Tin Cup was on HBO that month. So literally there's multiple times I'd finish watching it. And about an hour later,
watch it on the West Coast feed.
Yeah, but watch it again because why not? Because it's coming on.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was great. I watched it constantly. I probably watched it a dozen times that month and it never got old. It's super funny. Like, I love this movie. It's easily, I mean, as far as sports movies go, it's easily my top 10. You know, sure. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy the ensemble cast. You know, I mean, yeah, you focus on Costner and Russo, whatever, but all of his friends that hang out and, you know, the bus and everything, it's a lot of fun, especially when they go to Waffle House. It's simple, but entertaining and, you know, never get tired of watching it. So I'm excited to talk about it tonight.
I learned that there is indeed a Waffle House in Odessa.
That's on the map, right? On the map. I'd love that. All right. Let's go ahead and move on.
That's the fact, Jack.
That's the fact, Jack.
It's time for That's the Fact, Jack. These are facts about our movie. Released August 16th, 1996. Written by John Norval and Ron Shelton. Directed by Ron Shelton, who, of course, gave us classics like Bull Durham and White Man Can't Jump. Starring Kevin Costner, Rene Russo, Cheech Marin, Don Johnson, and a collection of golf pros. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, budget of $45 million, box office $75.8 million, and a runtime of 134 minutes. Based on a story by Norval and Shelton and inspired by the saying, quote, he's not worth a fart in a tin cup. Have you guys ever heard that? Because I've never heard that.
I have not heard that.
No, that's must be a Texas thing.
Maybe. It's got to be a Southern thing, I say. Costner joined early on, having just worked with Shelton on Bull Durham. Some casting what-ifs I thought were very interesting. Jeanine Turner, famous for Northern Exposure, and Michelle Pfeiffer were both considered for the part of Molly that would eventually go to Rene Russo. Pierce Brosnan and Alec Baldwin were considered for the role of David Sims that, of course, would go to Don Johnson. Those are some interesting choices. Alec Baldwin, I can totally see. Pierce Brosnan, not so much.
But yeah. I can see Pierce Brosnan want it.
Yeah, I think, I think I like Alec Baldwin a little bit better. But anyway, happy with Don Johnson. Now, this one I would have liked to have seen. John Leguizamo was up for the part of Romeo before Cheech Marin came in. So I would have been okay with that.
For some reason, I've never been a fan of him.
All right, well.
Cheech was great as Romeo.
Oh, yes, of course he is.
See somebody else doing that.
Right. All right, so Costner trained with Gary McCord to improve his game. McCord appears as himself as a commentator during the final tournament alongside Jim Nance. Some golfers that actually do appear in the movie, Phil Mickelson, Craig Statler, John Cook, Johnny Miller, Lee Jansen, Corey Pavin, and Fred Couples, just to name a few. The climactic scene where McAvoy keeps hitting into the water is based on an actual event from Gary McCord. He needed a birdie to win, and he kept hitting the water instead. It took him 15 strokes to reach the green, and then he one putted. At least he one putted. Many of Roy's shots were actually made by Costner himself, thanks to working with McCord, of course.
No, you're blowing my mind with some of these stats. I mean, the potential actors that they consider, just, I'm kind of like, this movie wouldn't have been as, the chemistry was so good with the actors that they cast. I don't think it would have worked as well as it did.
There is that alternate universe video store, which I wouldn't have mind seeing. You know what I mean? There's a couple of those, like, I could have been interested in, but, you know, still.
Michelle Pfeiffer would have been an interesting choice because at that time she was,
well, she was
peak. I mean, yeah. She was
pretty big. That would have been interesting.
Pretty hot too.
Yeah, well, yes, that's true. I mean, Rene Russo is nothing to sniff at, but yes, you know.
No.
But yeah. Also, that shot out of the bar and the Pelican was also based on a actual event from a court as well. So apparently he had an influence in some of the things happening in the movie, but I love that. All right. Fantastic. Let's go ahead and move on.
That was totally wicked.
It's time for That Was Totally Wicked. These are things we love about the movie. So Eric, what's something you love about Tin Cup?
Well, like kind of like I said earlier, being a golfer and, you know, being around golf for, you know, so much of my life, it, you know, I was going to like it no matter what, probably. But I just, I love a movie that's got a ton of quotable lines in it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and this movie's got a ton. And it's got a ton that, you know, me and my golf buddies, we use to this day on the course. But it's also got some lines that I'll just use at random, you know, anyway. And, you know, every time I'm in a Waffle House, I always go, it's in Odessa, honey. I'm from Odessa. It's in Odessa. Right? Some people know what I'm talking about. And some people don't. But like when him and David are having their contest or you know, their bet, and he hits it and he goes, I towed it a bit, but it'll do. You know, we always use that line on the course when we hit a shot and somebody will say, hey, nice shot. And I towed it a bit, but it'll do. So, you know, yeah. Like I said, just lines. And another thing that is kind of weird is I really enjoy the soundtrack. And a lot of songs I wouldn't necessarily go seek out because it's not normally what, the, you know, the hair metal that I normally listen to, but I have the majority of this soundtrack in my iTunes library and I like the majority of, you know, of the music in the movie.
Yeah. It's one of those soundtracks that, yes, I would not choose to listen to a lot of these songs on their own, but they work very well within the context of the movie. So that was a good job on the music department, picking songs that make sense and give you that Texas feel, I guess is the best way to put it. But yeah, good call. All right, Mike, something you love about the movie?
I liked it when he makes up playing golf with all the different tools.
Yes.
You know, as a person who had only played golf a couple of times and struggled with how hard this game is, to watch him just kind of do this hillbilly rendition of how to play golf with common household objects, I was like, that is cool as shit. You know, right. Do I believe it would work? I don't know. But just the unorthodox aspect of doing it. And of course, you're rooting for him to win anyways with, you know, he's the underdog and he proves it with a, you know, golf bag full of hose and whatever, you know.
You know, what was interesting about that is I noticed some of those shots, he, like the one he hit with the, you know, the baseball bat, he hit, I think, left-handed.
Yes, he did.
The one he hits with the shovel, he hits right-handed. And I think he must be ambidextrous or whatever, because it looks like he can do both,
yeah,
you know, directions.
Interesting.
No problem. And I just noticed that kind of recently, actually.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a nice tidbit.
Yeah, it's kind of subtle, like, because, yeah, with the shovel, he hits one way, with the bat, he hits the other. So, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, because one's from the front, one's from the back. So, you know, if you're not really paying attention, it looks like the same direction. But, yeah, I noticed that, too. I'm like, maybe he's a switch hitter. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool either way, because I'd love to see somebody play around like that with a shovel and a bat and a rake. Come on, man. That's awesome. I actually, one of the things I really loved about the movie, when I mentioned earlier the ensemble cast, but it's the friendship between Roy and Romeo that is so entertaining, mostly because it's believable. You know what I mean? It just feels real. It feels like they've been friends for a long time. And I think most people can relate and actually have been in relationships that are close to that, or at least know people that behave this way. It's almost like when you're watching this, you're thinking, well, Shelton must have had a relationship like this or friends like this to write something so good. You know, their chemistry together is fantastic. Like when they have that argument on the course, and you can just tell that Romeo is just so disappointed in him, so upset that he's blowing this whole thing. And, you know, I can see that doing with a friend, like, when you idiot.
Molly says your caddy quit. He goes, he always quits.
Right. Yeah. I just love that, the relationship. It's a lot of fun, and it's a big part of the movie. So yeah, I dig that. Awesome. Eric, anything else you want to add? Cause I got a couple more.
I like the scene where, you know, he gets to the open and he starts shanking again. Who hit that shot? And right. Romeo makes him, you know, move the change from one pocket to the other pocket and turn his hat around and
put the T behind his stuff. Ear.
Yeah. And he goes, that's Johnny Miller, man. He goes, I don't give a fuck who it is.
He's like, looks like an idiot. It's like, he looked like an idiot shooting his chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass. It's so, so funny. Oh my God. Love it. Think it'd be bad if I go ask for an autograph. Anyway, Mike, something else you love about the movie?
I liked all the cameos by the golfers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I was starting to get into golf, and I think this was right when golf was becoming cool again. Because like the 70s, I don't remember golf being that big of a deal. I hated watching it on TV. You know, if it was on TV, I was like, oh God, I'm going outside, whatever. But, you know, you had some golfers that were younger that brought some differences to the game. You know, they had their own idiosyncrasies that made it interesting to watch golf if they caught them. You know, like Chichi Rodriguez with the sword play you know, yeah. Greg Norman with his kind of his hat and just get a little bit flashier. You know, it was nice to see these guys breaking a little bit of that mold or breaking the ice. And then, of course, this is pre-Tiger Woods. So, you know, I think it helped make golf cooler. And then Tiger Woods just finished it and slammed that door shut, if you will.
Yeah, I'm always a fan. Craig Statler, because he looks like my dad's brother. You know, they kind of like, we used to joke that, you know, it was a long lost sibling because they looked so much alike. But yeah, I agree. You kind of, to make this movie, you had to have pro golfers in it, you know?
Yeah.
And they were fine. You know, we're not asking them to be Oscar winners or whatever. And they did their job, you know, and made it believable. So, and of course, Jim Nantz did a good job commentating on the make-believe tournament. So, you know, it's at least, they did a good job making golf fun to watch, because my dad was a big golfer and I played a lot as a kid and whatever. So I enjoy the sport, but watching it on TV can be kind of difficult, you know, but they did a good job with this, making it fun to watch, you know, and keeping the pace. So we're not kind of like, enough of the golf. So they did a good job keeping it moving and keeping it fun to watch. So I thought that was really important too.
Gary McCord did a really good job in it, but basically he was just, he was just himself.
Playing himself, yeah.
That's exactly how he is. And I used to love when he was one of the commentators, but I guess at the Masters, I think it was one year, he said something a little too risque on the air and
what?
Basically lost his job. So that's why he doesn't do it anymore. But I think they need more guys like him commentating on TV. I think it'll bring in, you know, keep bringing in a younger audience, you know.
Agreed. I also do want to take a minute to really comment on Costner's performance, because to this point, you know, we've had him as Robin Hood, we had him in Dancing with Wolves, and we kind of got, you know, Bull Durham, he was funny, but he was also kind of abrasive and he knew everything, whatever. And this one, yeah, he could swing that club and he's really good at it. But to be honest, you know, Roy's a mess. This guy is just, he's a mess. He's broken. He's not smart, but he's likable and he's vulnerable. And that's something we really hadn't seen a lot out of Costner to this point. So I thought that was really cool, you know, to kind of do a flip like that. So he did a good job. There's a couple times you're like, man, I really feel sorry for this guy. So,
right.
No, good job. All right. Anything else before we move on? Cool. All right.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
It's time for No, Sir, I Didn't Like It. These are things that we don't like or don't work in the movie. Eric, anything about this movie doesn't work for you?
I mean, I'm not copping out, but with this answer, but not really. I mean, I really, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. So there's not really anything in it really that I don't like, you know, like you and I talked about, you know, right before we went on the air, there's a couple things that are a little far-fetched when it comes to the golf, but, you know, it's a movie, so what movie's not a little, you know, a little far-fetched? But I thought all the acting was great in it, so, you know, there's really nothing that I don't like about it. I wouldn't watch them. I wouldn't have seen the movie, like, at least 100 times if there was something that I didn't like about it, you know what I mean? And I watch this movie constantly, so.
All right. Fair enough. Mike, anything that doesn't work for you?
The only thing that kind of, I want to kind of, it's funny in the sense that it is, but all the golf gadget gizmos that he's trying out and stuff like that, you know, some of them are just like the one where he's wearing the exoskeleton golf apparatus thing. I'm kind of like, okay, surely nobody believes this shit, but maybe they do. Surprised. You know?
You'd be surprised.
That industry makes millions every year.
So. See, as an outsider to the golf game, I'm sitting there like, I don't believe that somebody would actually buy that apparatus, but maybe I'm wrong, you know, and that's a minor note. I mean, it was funny, right. So it didn't hurt the film. I just was perplexed by these weird apparatuses and videos and superstitions and all this stuff. You know, like I said, I'm not a golfer, so I'm looking at this from a totally different angle, and you know, it didn't distract me too much. I was just like scratching my head when I saw some of those things. But yeah, other than that, it was a great movie. I love it. I have no really issues with it.
Might be something to this hat. There might be something here.
Well, I mean, after all, let's see, McCord wrote a book, you know, it was a Golf for Dummies or whatever. So apparently you can learn how to play golf out of a book too. So I don't know, but
back in that era, you saw a lot more of the weird gadgets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You don't see them quite as much now, but I remember just, you know, working in my dad's golf shop when I was young, some of the crazy stuff that we would get in to sell, and it sold. So, you know, somebody was buying it. And I'll be honest, we, you know, there were a few things we'd get in and we were like, you know, who in the world's going to buy this? And somebody'd come in and buy them, and we just kind of give each other the side eye, like, here goes another, you know, here's another one going out the door, you know. But
well, you know, if your game is that bad, you'll try to just about anything. You know, right. I spent a good portion of my life with a slice, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I go 10 years between playing and it's still there. Doesn't matter anyway. Okay. So I only have a couple things I want to mention. First of all, I know we're supposed to root for Roy to win Molly's hand. Okay, cool. My problem though is that I really don't believe Molly and Dave as a couple, and my biggest issue is it's obviously still in the early stages of their relationship, because she's decided she wants to learn how to play golf, you know, as a kind of an olive branch to this guy she's dating. So I know when I'm in the early stages of a relationship, I'm usually very affectionate. We're, you know, holding hands. We're spending a lot of time together. We really don't get any of that. You know, they're not flirty. They're not being sweet. I mean, sure, he calls her darling, but we don't really see a lot of anything else.
What? Here's what I didn't get. She obviously lives in Salome. Her office is in Salome. She lives there. He says early he's in town for his tournament. So if he doesn't live there, but she does, how serious of a relationship do they really have?
Yeah. Obviously it's his tournament that's there. So that's gotta be his home. You know what I mean? So maybe
he say he's back in town for his tournament?
Yeah, but it's held there. I think it's because I think it's where his home is. But he obviously travels. You know, he plays in tournaments, so he's always traveling around. So, but yeah, I mean, I get it. I agree. See, that's what I'm saying. It's like they're in a relationship, but are they? You know, I mean,
now that you're picking that out, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, yes, I'm seeing it. And next time I watch it, this is going to bother me, Dave. Thanks a lot. You know?
Ruined another one for us,
Dave. Yeah, I'm pretty good at that. No, I mean, it. Ultimately, you know, we, like I said, we want Roy to win her over, but the transition seems a little too easy. You know what I mean? Now, granted, she pretty much has to overhear him being mean to the old people and the little kid, you know, but even still, it's
well, Roy told Molly he's a horse's ass.
And I know. Well, there's plenty of people that have been told that by people that didn't believe him either. So they have to see it. But I just don't buy the relationship. They just don't seem very couple like. So, and that's, you know, no big deal. I mean, like I said, there's, and kind of going along with that, it is a simple story and fine, but it is a little too simple for me. I would like a little bit more backstory on Roy, you know, like, is what happened to him in college? What happened to him? Like, was there an event or something that kind of triggered his?
We need a prequel. College days.
That's yes. What we need. And I would, you know, honestly, I would watch that. The question now is,
well, I would.
who plays Roy? He's got to be 20, you know, like early 20s. You know, that's the real question.
Get the dude that's playing the young Kevin Costner in Yellowstone now. They look enough alike.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. See,
the prequel would be pretty cool. Just, you know, like, you could almost do a Dazed and Confused or Fast Times at Ridgemont, because I'm guessing Roy was a partier and wasted his talents on his youth, if you will. I could see that kind of a comedy coming out of this, you know, as a prequel.
I mean, my thing is, he's obviously really good, you know, and because even Sim says, you know, such a great ball striker as you put up an 82 or 84 or whatever.
He shot 83 because he missed the 8-foot putt for 82. Right.
So obviously he's good, but I want to know what caused the fall. Why did he end up in a Winnebago at a driving range? So I'm just curious, you know, I'm just wondering. I know they have a spa. It's a spa that he rents his glasses out in later, which is just weird. Anyway, but whatever. All right. So apparently I'm the only one who had anything really negative to say. So that's about right. That tracks for us. Anyway, moving on. Okay. All right. So we're going to take a quick promo break. And when we get back, we're going to hit some favorites and give this movie a rating.
If you like fun, then you're going to love the Beard Al podcast. It's a podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al. And frankly, we talk more about Weird Al than anything because he's the gift that keeps on giving. So join us as we talk through Weird Al's career, what he means to us, and we have some very special guests on to discuss the magic that is Alfred Matthew Yankovic. Beard Al, part of the Odd Pods Media Network.
What was that laugh? I asked myself. I'm trying to recreate that as much as possible. I don't think I've ever laughed like that in my life.
Oh, that was new.
What is that? This is my new laugh for 2024.
New year, new laugh.
We have a spanking new podcast for your ear holes called Doom Generation.
Available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Later, Doomers.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
All right, it's time for Smiling's My Favorite. Here are some favorite things about the movie and a couple other fun stuff. So, first of all, favorite character in the movie, Eric.
Well, I like Romeo quite a bit. And Earl, old Earl's got some great lines.
Yes, he does.
I mean, really, it's Roy because he's just, like you said, he's a likable character. I think Costner did a fantastic job making him the right amount of likable, the right amount of vulnerable, the right amount of, you know, you just want to root for him.
Right.
With Molly, you want to root for him on the course and, you know, all that stuff. But Romeo is definitely up there too. But his whole hodgepodge of friends that he's got, you know, I can't remember all their names, but, you know,
there's a lot of them. They're
all good, really. But
yeah,
I would say those three are probably my favorite, Romeo, Earl, and Roy.
All right. Yeah. Romeo is actually my favorite because he's the kind of the yin to the yang of Roy. You know, he's the voice of reason. You know, he's the kind of friend you want, you know, in your corner. You know, he's the guy that you might not listen to him, but, you know, he always quits, but he comes back. So, yeah. You know, it's all right.
To the quitter.
Right. Mike, favorite character.
Again, it's Romeo. Nobody could have played him other than Cheech. You know, it's probably some of his best acting. I mean, I've watched some of his other stuff where he was on television with Don Johnson.
Right.
I think he made his character so likable and lovable that anybody else wouldn't have worked it. So he's the glue that holds all of it together. I'm not saying that the other actors weren't good, but he just kind of makes the movie flow. And you know, he's paying attention to the romance, and he's paying attention to this, and he's paying attention to that, and he's kind of guiding some of these things, even if he's not intentionally. I don't know. He seems like the glue to the movie.
Yeah, and he stands out in the rain, you know. When they're in the Winnebago, I'm like, that's a patient dude, man. I'd have gone into the golf cart garage and stood in there. I'd be like, oh, this is where I'm sleeping. And he gets him drunk before his first round. That was, that could have been a bad decision. Anyway, moving on. Okay. So favorite scene from the movie, Eric.
Well, reality is there's a ton of scenes that are, I mean, just about all of them, really. A couple that came to mind that I really enjoy, when he breaks down the swing, he called, the swing by Roy McAvoy, that whole part is great. Perfection is unattainable and all that jazz. I really enjoy that. And I'm also partial to when Roy tells Romeo, I'd hit that shot again. That was a defining moment. And Romeo goes, it was a defining moment. And the definition was shit. That's probably my favorite gag in it. But when he breaks down the swing, and that's early in the movie too, but when he breaks down the swing for Molly, I really like that whole, scene.
Yeah, a little nod to the gods. Yeah.
Nod to the golf gods.
Yeah.
Just a little tension going on there too. I like that part of the scene as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. I use that, the riddle that he asked everybody.
Oh yeah. I think anybody who's watched that has probably asked friends that before.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. All right. Mike, favorite scene.
Again, I'm going with the lawn care tools and him, playing the game with it and stuff like that. I wanted to root for him because, it's like, he's an average Joe. He's, but he's got the skill, but he's not a butthead about it. He's not like, I'm exceptional and great. He's hanging out with the working class and the guys that he probably went to high school with. He's still letting them hang on to him to a certain extent because, they're probably as close to glory as they ever had.
Right.
So that scene to me just solidifies what his character is an average Joe with an exceptional talent to play golf that somehow or another he got off track with.
Right.
Right.
So we are. Yeah. So you just mentioned one of mine, the whole playing with the yard tools, but the section right after he finishes with the, he played with the, was it seven iron, played a whole round with a seven iron, right, because he broke all the other ones. Okay.
Yep.
So, and then Sims challenges.
Well, he didn't break them all. Romeo broke two of them.
That's right. So, he bets, Sims, like, who can hit the ball the longest. Right. So, and you have that great line, that'll do. Right. Well, then, Sims turns and just hits it down the damn driveway. And the look.
Earl goes, he hit it down the fucking road.
It's still going.
It's still going. Man, the look on Roy's face is priceless because he literally got outsmarted. And there's no two ways about it. And it's just so funny that he drives off with his car.
Just like, the guy goes, you the man, Roy. The man and needs a ride home.
Yes. Oh, so good. So good. And a runner-up would be the driving range at the Open, with the whole, mentioned earlier, you put your change in that, the tee behind the ear and all that. All just so funny. He's like, your head was getting in the way. First time that's ever happened. Love it.
The old-timer would be Caddyshack. Right.
All right.
I mean, I think, as far as golf comedies go, for sure. Tin Cup is arguably probably a slightly better movie.
Caddyshack
is just a classic.
There's
a cool Randy Quaid golf movie called Dead Solid Perfect, which was based on a book of the same name.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's kind of hard to find. I actually found it on YouTube. and it's a terrible quality, but it's literally the only way. It's the only way to watch it now. Wow. I think occasionally the Golf Channel will like show it at like 1 a.m. or something like that. So I always kind of keep my eye out for it because I figure I can record it if it's ever on there. The movie called The Greatest Game Ever Played,
right?
Was it wasn't a comedy, but I thought that was a really good movie too.
All right, very good. All right, Mike.
Well, you know, again, you mentioned Caddyshack. Obviously, this one. Happy Gilmore, you know, that's, but you know, I just like, I grew up next to a golf course where, it was very exclusive. And I think at one point it wasn't even allowed to have minorities on it. And
that sounds about right.
So, you know, there was a private club and, the people that attended it were more or less assholes, you know? So I like any movie that pokes fun at the sport.
Right.
So I don't get into the serious golf movies. I mean, I wish I could. And again, I'm not a golfer, so it's hard for me to pick some of the more, drama or real life versions of these golf movies, you know, so right. Those are my three and really, you know, tied for top one would be Caddyshack in this movie. And then right. Again, Happy Gilmore, you know, and Bob Barker punching, you know, Happy Gilmore is, you know, that made the movie right there.
Yeah. So I'll get to the Happy Gilmore in a second. So, no, I love this movie. This is my favorite golf movie. Caddyshack is definitely, you know, nipping at the heels there. So, I mean, I enjoy Happy Gilmore, but I know it's just a movie and I know there's like that, you have to just suspend belief.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that heckler, I've been to enough golf tournaments and I've been in a gallery to know that guy would have been kicked off the course the second time he did that. It wouldn't even have gotten that far. It would never have happened. And that bothers me every time I watch him. I'm like, but that wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen, you know, but neither would a hockey player like that hitting a golf ball like that.
So I hate Happy Gilmore.
It's like,
I do not. Well, of course, I don't like Adam Sandler in general. Right. Other than The Wedding Singer, I really don't enjoy really hardly any of his movies, to be honest with you. I don't know why.
But check out his dramatic roles are better. They really are.
I've watched Uncut Gems. I thought that was average at best.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people rave about that one.
Yeah. Well, we're covering Punch Drunk Love later this year, and I love that movie. But that's Paul Thomas Anderson being the film auteur he is.
Mm. I have not seen that. So yeah. Do you recommend that one?
Oh, hell yes. Yes. He's controlled. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? So yes, it's a good flick, but yeah. Happy Gilmore, I kind of take it or leave it. I get distracted. There's some fun stuff in it, but yeah, you're kind of like, no, whatever.
Like the caddy. His name slips my mind now. The guy, alligator ate his hand.
Yeah.
We just lost the actor recently.
Carl Weathers. Yeah.
Carl Weathers, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just tap it. Tippy tap. Just tap it. I mean,
it's Carl Weathers. Is good. You know, you have to like him. So, yeah. All right. Favorite Kevin Costner movie, Eric?
Well, this one's way up there for sure for me. I also really love For Love of the Game.
All right. I have never seen that one.
I love it. It's such a good movie. I mean, I don't know if you know what it's about, but
I do. I do. I just, okay, I, okay. We mentioned it on, actually we mentioned it on our top, seven baseball movies that we did like the first season. Right, so it got mentioned there, but yeah, I've never actually seen it.
I also really love the movie JFK, which I know some people love and some people don't.
Yeah. I love it.
I thought Costner was excellent in it. And I have a soft spot for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, actually too. And, you know, I like him and I like Kevin Costner in that movie for some reason.
You know, everybody gives such a hard time about his dialect. He literally flew in the night before he was shooting.
I don't care.
It's like, give him a break.
I didn't care if he didn't have an English accent. It's funny because he did get poo-pooed on so heavily.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I love his character in 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
All right.
I don't know if you've seen that movie, but he was so funny in that. So
Nice. Good call.
And then there's the obvious movies like, you know, Dance with Wolves and things like that.
That's mine. Dance with Wolves. I love that movie. Just adore that movie. Even the extended version. I love that movie. All right. Mike, your favorite Kevin Costner movie?
Well, I was going to go with Dances with Wolves as well, too. I mean, wasn't it preserved in the Library of Congress?
Yep.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, that's the easy target. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, but it's worthy of being an easy target. But
yeah,
anytime he does a sports movie, I'm on board. Anytime he does a Western, I'm on board, you know, and I forgot about, you know, 3,000 Miles of Graceland and wow, you know, what a movie to forget. So he was really putting out a lot of stuff in the '90s, you know, and unfortunately Waterworld happened, but you know,
hey, you know what? Don't knock Waterworld. That was actually a fun movie.
I enjoy Waterworld.
I do too.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. The critics panned it. It got a lot of heat
because it was the most expensive movie at the time. But you know what? Right. When your set sinks into the ocean, you have to build another one. It's going to cost money to do that. Yeah, so come on.
What was the Western with Robert Duvall?
It's really, it's
Open
really
Range.
Good.
Was that Open Range?
Yeah. That was a great
Open
one
Range.
Well,
yeah. That's fantastic.
Another great actor with him though. There.
Well,
too,
yeah.
Duvall,
it's,
sure.
But, yeah.
They
actually,
both carried that movie, man.
I hadn't seen that. And then our friends over at a Film Buy did an episode on it and I watched it. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. Yeah. Fantastic movie.
For sure. The shootout scene at the end. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It's because it's brutal. It's not slick. It's very
realistic. Yes.
Yes. Done very well. Well, my next question is kind of moot for Eric, but obviously you played golf a lot as a kid, I'm guessing, with your dad in the business. Do you still play?
Oh yeah. Every matter of fact, my dad's coming back in town this weekend from Florida for the summer and we'll start playing every Sunday.
Oh, that's cool.
I got a picture of me in our driveway with a little tiny golf club and I can't be more than, I don't know, two or three probably. So been playing for a while. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I played a lot when I was a kid. We actually lived on a golf course in Westchester for years and my dad had a golf cart cause you had to, you know, why not? And you know, we would go to Myrtle Beach for vacation. That's every like 5 days in a row. That's all he did with our friend, Dick. They would go out and play golf every morning. That was the whole, they didn't care about the beach. It was all about golf. So yeah. And actually the last few times he came up before he passed, we would go out. My brother and I would join him on a play around the golf. And I actually inherited his golf clubs after he passed away. And our friend Jeff Johnson from the Infield by podcast, we actually went out last summer and played around and I was as bad as I remembered, but I had a good time, you know? And, you know, I only lost a couple balls. So that's pretty good when you only play like once every 5-6 years. And I think it's pretty good. I have to get out there a little bit more and play. I'm guessing Mike, don't play. You're more of a miniature golf kind of guy.
As I said numerous times already, I'm not a golfer. Right. You know, my history, I spent, you know, 25 years playing semi-pro football.
Right.
So, you know, that was my sport of the day. And, you know, golf to me, I respect the game a lot and I've played it a few times. I like it. I just can't afford the amount of money it takes for me to get good.
It's insane.
Yes, it is.
What it costs to play golf now. I mean, if I didn't play, I get to play for free because, you know, through, you know, dad's connections, stuff like that. And I've said it, and a lot of guys at work, you know, are getting into golf now. So, you know, we'll go out occasionally. But I've said it several times. Once, if anything ever happens to my dad where he can't play or, you know, later on when he's not around anymore, I probably won't play.
Yeah.
Because I don't like spending money, that kind of money, on something like golf. And like I said, if I didn't play every Sunday for free, I wouldn't play. And I don't even think I'll miss it. Really. You know what I mean?
That's why I prefer disc golf because the parks are almost always free.
I was going to mention disc golf because that's coming back around down here right now. And it's something I'm looking to get involved with because it's disc golf. I mean, you know, it's a little bit more casual, obviously.
It is. And I know we need to get our friend John, right? We need to get out and play around. I haven't played in a while. But yeah. It's one of those things that you can spend as much as you want on the discs. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. And it's fun. And like I said, they're always in parks. So there's almost never any cost to get in. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. And then you know, it's, there's definitely no greens fees. It doesn't cost $80 for 18 holes. So yeah, anyway. All right. Awesome. So, question, what's Roy listening to on his Walkman? He wears it a couple different times throughout the movie. Your thoughts, Eric, what's he listening to?
I assumed it was some kind of self-help tape. Maybe not even anything to do with golf, but just some kind of zany tape that he found maybe in Romeo's collection or something. Oh, wow. Or I don't know. That's I never thought it was music. I thought it was
really
probably some, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Art Linkletter. You're, you know.
Wow. All right. That's interesting. Well, I figured, see, I thought about that, but then I was like, well, no, he's going to see a shrink. So why would he need to listen? But you know, I guess that makes sense too. All right. Mike, thoughts?
Going back to the prequel conversation, I think he's listening to the music of his late teens, early 20s. And I would put, you know, a kind of a Eagles vibe into that maybe a little bit. I could see him being a big fan of Hotel California.
All right.
I'm thinking he's listening to something that just keeps him calm, and it's background noise that
right
doesn't distract him, obviously. So, you know, it's, I always go to Pink Floyd and Dark Side of the Moon when I'm wanting to get into a drawing mode. And so I think he's got an album that he plays while he's listening that puts him into zone. And for some reason he's an Eagles guy.
All right. See, I had either Lynyrd Skynyrd or Charlie Daniels. Those are the two that popped into my head for some reason. I don't know why. Cause neither one of them appear in the soundtrack, but those are the two that kind of like, oh, that's maybe, you know, cause you know, you're right. They would have been popular around his college years. So anyway, I don't know.
It could be a bunch of stuff that Romeo recorded with his guitar for him.
It could have been.
Estoy sentado aquí.
Oh, that's just so funny. All right. Okay, cool. So let's hit some final thoughts and give the movie a rating. 1 out of 5 film reels. Mike, how do you want to sum this up and what's your rating?
It's one of my favorite golf movies, obviously. So it's up there. You know, but then you look at some of the movies that Kevin Costner put out, you're kind of like, wow, you know, those are 5s out of 5.
Right.
Golf movie, it's a 4.5 out of 5. Overall movie, I'm going to give it a 4. Because it's just, you know, it's as a non-golfer guy, I enjoyed the movie. I had no problems watching it at all. I don't care to watch it again. Like you said, if it's on, I'll watch it. And that's a good sign. So that, you know, I'm going to give it a little bit of praise, you know, compared against other movies. Yeah. 4, but golf version movies, 4.5.
All right. Eric.
Something I thought about, is what Molly says to him at the end. She goes, and it rings true, I think, when she says, 5 years from now, nobody's going to remember who won, but they're going to remember you're 12. And that's true. I was thinking, you know what? I can't tell you who won the U.S. Open last year.
No.
But if somebody would have made a 12 the way he did, you bet your ass I'd remember that. You know what I mean? So that's totally true. But as far as the rating goes, I got to give it a 5. I don't think all that's right going to shock anybody that I that I'm giving it a, you know, 5 out of 5.
No, it doesn't shock me. No, it's has likable characters, has good sense of humor with it. It's a fun story. And this is what you expect when you hear a golf movie and Shelton as the writer and director. So, you know, I had a couple problems with it, but overall I give it a 4 out of 5. It's, you know, it's fun. It's definitely one of those that you're not going to be disappointed when it's over. It's a fun movie and it, you know, makes people happy and it definitely makes me laugh because I've watched it so many times. So many. That first month with HBO, at least a dozen times. So, all right, fantastic. So thank you guys very much for being here and making this fun. So Eric, I know you recently had a guitar video out. How often do you drop the guitar videos?
Oh, whenever I feel like making one, really.
Every time you acquire a new guitar?
Yeah, basically. I've dropped a couple guitar videos recently, and I just had another new EP come out, I think was last weekend, I guess, or it was in, second to last week of March.
Oh, okay.
Is when I released that, so.
All right, yes. Eric Jason Brock on YouTube, you can hear
him. Right, just about everywhere.
Yeah.
You can go to that, you'll be able to find me.
Awesome. All right. Well, as always, thanks, Eric, for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. It's always a pleasure having Mike on, another one of those long-haired, freaky people.
We kept it going, Dayton. I mean, you know, we're true to ourselves.
That's right.
I would have kept it going if I could.
I just need to get the shrubbery shaved off my neck, you know, before, you know, next week. That's all.
I trimmed my beard up this morning. Yeah, I was like, I'd let it go for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I can't do the beard thing. My wife won't kiss me if I get too much scruff. So anyway. All right. Pleasure as always, gentlemen.
Yep, definitely.
And let's take a minute to thank the listeners for stopping by and spending some time with us. We all have a lot to do and it's very busy. So it does mean quite a bit that you spend time with us every week. So thank you very much. All of our social media information is in the show notes. Comment on this movie, comment on the episode. What's your favorite Kevin Costner movie? Chat with us 24/7 about whatever you're watching, reading, video games you're playing, and things like that. Even make episode suggestions. If you are so inclined, we do have a Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you get full access to all of our exclusive content. Recently, we dropped an episode, our top 7 Hanna-Barbera characters. It was a fun episode. Robert hosted it, and there was quite, we had a lot of overlap, but there's also some very unusual choices. So it was a good episode. So check that out if you get a moment. Upcoming episodes. Next week, we're going to round out our month on sports movies with the baseball film Everybody Wants Some from director Richard Linklater. Now, sneak preview at May. It's going to be busy. We're starting off with our top 7 movies of the 80s. Special guests include Deaf Dave from the podcast Apples and Oranges, where they compare the discographies of the Beach Boys and the Beatles. Jason Colvin from the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast will be joining us as well. And I gave him some rules, so we'll see how that turns out. Also, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Amber will be hosting that one. Great movie from Ang Lee. The anime classic, Akira. That's going to be fun. I haven't watched that in years. And we're doing a Dwayne Johnson episode, his version of Jumanji versus the Jungle Cruise. That should be fun. And Disney John will be hosting that. To end the month, I can't think of a better way to do this. We are going back to a galaxy far, far away and discussing the original Star Wars trilogy. We have a whole lot and a special guest that time. Author and photographer Patrick Albright will be returning. Award-winning author Van Allen Plexico will be there. And John Reed, the host of the 30-something movie podcast, will be joining us as well. Excited for that one. Do yourself a favor and watch more movies. And remember, physical media is better. The Docking Bay 77 podcast is produced and edited by Dayton Johnson. Recorded with Rode Pod mics, the Zoom PodTrack P4, and edited on Audacity. Opening music provided by Eric Jason Brock. You can find him on YouTube and Bandcamp. Thank you for listening. It's just a character for long.